Good morning. Tonight, I just need to do one thing, if you don't mind. Could I just do that a second? Okay. I am so excited to be here. I am so excited to worship with you, number one, because I have, in the last 2 years, I have felt as if this congregation is my home. I want to thank Pastor Alicia for her kind invitation. It was about a month and a half ago or so. And shortly after that, I called her and said, "Oh, can I meet with the worship team? Can I meet with everybody so that I know what we're doing and I can..." And she's going, "Well, okay." And that's how excited I was and am. And I became more and more excited as the day came because I love the day of Pentecost. I like it more than Christmas. I love it more than Easter. I love the day of Pentecost. I am so honored to be here this morning that I can call Pastor Alicia my pastor. And it is indeed a privilege to call Pastor Alicia my colleague in ministry. Will you join your hearts with mine as together we pray? Oh God, our creator and lover of us all, hear my prayer. Whether it is through me or in spite of me, let your people hear your word. In our listening and in our hearing, empower us all to be your prophetic witness in our speaking, in our loving, and in our living. Amen. Well, as Alicia sort of alluded to, she was very kind in not giving you the number of years that I was in ministry, but my husband has more years in ministry than I do, so he's old. But I have, over the last 36 years, or for the past 36 years of active ministry, I have preached on every which way of Pentecost that I possibly could. I did my best to interpret to my congregations the full meaning of Pentecost. I've celebrated with cake and candles. I've had whipping wind from the strategically placed fans in the sanctuary. I've taught the significance of the blessing of God's Holy Spirit as I have baptized and welcomed confirmands and new members into the local faith communities. And I have welcomed individuals and used these welcoming words, "Welcome to the family of God." I've worked tirelessly, I thought, to interpret God's gift bestowed on each and every person assembled in that first century Jerusalem. And as I said before, I loved it. And I love it today. If you don't remember anything else from my words this morning, other than the little happy dance I did, please try to remember this. The day of Pentecost is a preview of the future. Today, I am excited, and I feel as if June 6th, 2019, Pentecost is like the first Pentecost, proclaiming a new thing that God is doing and will continue to do in the life of the church. Just like on that first day of Pentecost, God is calling and equipping God's people to do a new thing. It's truly a new day. It's truly a new time. Ted ushered that in with his comments about annual conference. Things have changed in so many ways in the life of Christ's church, including for those people of God called United Methodists. Today, I feel as if I am one of the disciples present at that first Christian Pentecost celebration so very long ago. I feel as if I am standing right there with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Peter, and Joanne, and James, and Mary Magdalene, and John, and all of the disciples who were in their waiting and staying place. As they emerge from that place to greet a birthday. For our first century brothers and sisters, Peter, with the guidance of the prophet Joel, I'm so glad we have the prophet Joel with us this morning, with Peter and the guidance of Joel, Peter fully communicates the meaning of the day of Pentecost. Today, in 2019, Peter's words in Acts provide us, the church of the 21st century, with that same message. Using Joel's words and somewhat augmented for his need, the day of Pentecost is a preview of the future. Now, I'm going to associate the prophet Joel with the prophet Theodore Seuss Giesel, if I may. I believe Dr. Seuss expresses that same prophetic message in his little book of prophecy called, Oh, the Places You Will Go. Dr. Seuss is saying to us, you are starting a new thing. This is a new phase of being. You have been on this path that has served you well for such a time. But now you are a part of a new thing. In our story, in our lesson from Acts 2, Luke is continuing his gospel and moving into telling us just exactly what the disciples did after the death of Jesus, death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. We are introduced to a gospel story, in my humble opinion, that picks up where the Gospels left off. Jesus visits his disciples to give them final instructions and then truly and finally leaves them to ascend into heaven. The disciples are told to go to a waiting and staying place for guidance for what they should do next. And as they are waiting and staying, something is about to happen. Dr. Seuss describes it as, bright places are found, boom bands are playing, and banners are flip-flapping. Peter describes it this way, a sound the likes of a freight train. The winds like that of a tornado. Fire illuminating everyone as if they had been struck by lightning.
You better stop that!
Pentecost is a preview of the future. I believe that. Now, I have to be a Deborah Downer. I'm going to take you to a place that was once thought to be the loss of our hopes and dreams of being an inclusive and open church. Do you remember February 26th, 2019, in St. Louis, Missouri? What I remember most are seeing the stunning faces, the stunned faces of those who had dreamed and hoped of something far greater than we could imagine, only to be cut down by the adoption of what has been known as the traditional plan for the United Methodist Church. I believe, and it looked as if in pictures, the stunned faces were asking the question, the same question that is asked in our scripture lesson. What does this mean? Dazed and confused, sorrowful people were sent away to their waiting and staying places, brokenhearted and grieving at the loss of their beloved church. I spent my own time waiting and staying. I spent it with others like you. I spent it by myself, contemplating what I would do. And after many days, more than 50, I finally emerged from that waiting and staying place after Pastor Alicia invited me to preach. I read the words from Scripture. I read the words from the prophet Joel, and my heart started to sing. I could feel Pentecost. I could hear the wind. I could feel the change. I felt like I had been hit by a bolt of lightning. I felt that high voltage of electric energy filling my heart and my mind with new dreams and new visions and new purpose for God's people, even for the people called United Methodist. Can you understand my excitement to stand here with you today when I heard Peter's explanation of all the weird things that happened on that first day of Pentecost? I get it. I get it. I felt as if for a long time before, I felt as if the Holy Spirit had finally said, yes, you have a voice, you have a prophetic voice, you have a message to give. Peter pulled those words out of the Old Testament, and the prophet spoke them, and he was interpreting for me and for us the signs of the times, not just back at first Pentecost, but here at this Pentecost in our hearing, we are hearing God announce that things have changed. Something new is about to happen, and it's not by our own doing. It is of God's own doing. With the detail of sound effects and of a good suspense-filled movie, God is shaking us out of our staying and waiting places and hurling us out of our complacency, filling us with energy so that we might announce and usher in this new thing that God is doing. Can you feel the excitement? I hope you can. I mean, I'm about ready to come touch you with the finger and you're going to be electrocuted. That's all I'm saying. Peter's words are prophetic for every time and every place. He is telling us that God is at work here and now. Through the gift of God's Spirit, God is equipping God's people to communicate the love of God with everyone we meet. Now, I need to put a caution here because prophets don't predict the future. They simply read the signs of the time. They identify and name the way that God is active in the world and proclaiming God's salvation at work in and among us. Prophets don't predict the future. Dr. Seuss did not predict the future. He helped us preview what our future could be. And he didn't sugarcoat all the difficult moments that we would face. He pointed to the future and he invited us to step out into our own future. For me, and I hope for you and the entire Church of Jesus Christ, I needed the fresh wind of God's Spirit to breathe into me today so that I could get out of my mourning clothes, out of my waiting and staying place, and step out with a prophetic witness of God's love, not only in Syracuse, not only in the United States, but anywhere I go. The challenge of this first Pentecost 2019 is that we must remember Pentecost is a preview of the future. Can you, will you accept the role as that prophetic witness in all the places you will go with all the people you will meet? And will we as the church leave our staying and waiting places of our lives and step out and be willing to interpret the changing times and the new way God is equipping us to minister in a new age and a new time? I know we're equipped. Thanks be to God.